Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, and it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And it is 5 o'clock, which means Chad Withrow joins us from Outkick. So, Chad, I see the ESPN top 10 list that come out, where, again, these are not ESPN's opinions, but they compile the list. They talk to the coaches, executives, and scouts, and then they put together the top 10 list. And there are two things that stand out. As of right now, ESPN has done running back, defensive tackle, edge rusher, safety, and tight end. The Titans have one player inside the top 10 on any of those lists. It's Jeffrey Simmons. Not even any other player has been an honorable mention or even received a single vote. It is, in my opinion, telling me, foreshadowing for us, that this may be the worst Titan season that we have seen in some time. And so I want to start with this, which is, you've covered the Titans, you know, for a long time before you went to Outkick. You've lived here forever. Is this the least exciting or least excited people have been prior to a Titan season, or is it just me?
It's just you, because you've got short-term memory, because a year ago, the people were way less excited about the Titans. I mean, there was no excitement around Will Levis and around that Titans team. This team's got the number one pick at quarterback.
Oh, no, so you don't remember the summer of Let Ran Cook?
Oh, there was no excitement. I mean, I think that was very much a small group of people on the internet. There was no excitement going into last year. Look, there's very little excitement going into this year. But I'm just going short-term here. At least you have the number one pick starting at quarterback. It can't get any worse, Jared, than picking number one overall. They just did that. Now, they could replicate that and do it again and be the worst team in the NFL for a second straight year. But even then, at least going into this season, you've got the anticipation of watching a number one overall pick at the quarterback position, try to figure it out and see if they're the franchise guy. So, yeah, there's not a lot of buzz around this Titans team, and rightfully so. I could also look around the AFC South and not see a lot of reasons for excitement with the other teams in the division either. But the Titans are last on that list of teams, even in a bad division. But no, this isn't the least talked about or least exciting team the Titans have ever fielded. There have been some bad ones in the past. Last year was worse. Last year resulted in the number one pick. Last year had Will Levis, the first pick in the second round, starting at quarterback. This year's got the first overall pick as the quarterback. So I'm taking this season and the anticipation of it over last year.
I think you are totally misremembering the money they spent in the offseason and the fans that said Vrabel was the problem, Let Ran Cook, Brian Callahan's going to turn Will Levis into Joe Burrow because he did it in Cincinnati. That I think you are totally misremembering that and how optimistic people were. I had somebody come up to me at a wedding in Toronto, and they were like, Jared, we're going to be better this year. And I looked at this guy. This was August of last year, and I had just come back from the Seahawk practices, and I'm like, this team's terrible. And he was like, no, you got to admit, they're better than they were last year. I'm like, you lost Derrick Henry. You don't get better. I think you completely misremember how suckered in people were that Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan were going to build around Joe Burrow 2.0.
I think if you want to listen to and pay attention to the Titans hype machine, then you could probably do that and get yourself suckered into thinking anything. I'm saying those with a brain that know ball were not excited about last year. And I'll pose this question to you, Jared. Is the NFL a quarterback league or a head coach league?
Well, it's definitely a quarterback league, but if you got a moron at head coach like the Bengals have, I do think it may hold you back a little bit.
And I'm not talking about – this is not a statement on Brian Callahan and his competence or anything. It's definitely a quarterback league. Last year, the starting quarterback going into the season was Will Levis. Now, even the most optimistic of Will Levis fans would not put the excitement around Will Levis or anticipation, especially after seeing him some the year before, at the level of a number one overall pick, right? Like that's not even close. It's a quarterback's league. If you've got a chance at quarterback, you got a chance. And so Titans fans should be way more optimistic and excited about this season because they get to see the number one overall pick at quarterback, period. I mean, yeah, a year ago there was a coaching regime change and there were a lot of changes in free agency and Derrick Henry was gone, all that. But I'm telling you, if you know ball, you're way more at least excited about watching this quarterback than anything about last year's team.
Chad, I had a take earlier today. The top 10 tight ends came out. Brock Bowers is number one. And we played the cut on draft night when Malik Nabers went at six to the Giants. And I was sitting there on the draft show saying, take Brock Bowers. And obviously the Titans did not do that. They took J.C. Latham. Last year I ran a poll in which I asked, who would you trust to be a better general manager, Jared Stillman or Rand Carthon / Chad Brinker? I lost 51-49. I was shocked it was that close. I am convinced that I would have been a better general manager than Rand Carthon. And two things from this list make me think that. Obviously, the number one thing of Brock Bowers as the number one tight end in the league, Chigakonkwo is terrible, and I think we can all agree with that. And number two, Derrick Henry on the top 10 list went from ninth last year to second this year because that terrible team that Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon put together made Derrick Henry look bad. Derrick went to a sane organization and turned back into Derrick Henry. Am I talking out of my ass that I could have done a better job than Rand Carthon did the last 2 years?
I mean, you're likely talking out of your ass that you could have done a better overall job with all aspects of being a general manager. But if you posed the question and said, who would you rather have draft for the Titans in the first round, Jared Stillman or Rand Carthon, I would take you in a heartbeat.
Thank you.
Based on that decision alone of drafting Brock Bowers, because I'd way rather have Brock Bowers, especially knowing what we know now with Cam Ward coming in at quarterback. If he had a weapon like Brock Bowers that was entering year two, yeah, I would take that trade immediately. So, look, I can't sit here and say that, you know, you're going to draft fifth and sixth rounders as well, and you're going to know the league as well, and you're going to get the bargain basement free agents and get the right fit for the team as well as Rand Carthon or someone that's been around it for a while. But if you ask me right now, gun to my head, hey, Chad, who do you want taken in the first round? Who do you want picking for your team, Stillman or Rand? I'd say let Jared cook and not the other way around.
Okay, gun to your head. Who would you rather have be the general manager for your team, Jared Stillman or Rand Carthon?
Jared Stillman. I mean, I can't say, look, we know that Rand Carthon was bad, right? Like,
right.
It's a tough premise to a question because it's like, you know, hey, knowing what you know now, like, would you rather Derek Dooley coach your college team or this guy that you don't know much about? Well, I know Derek Dooley was really bad. He was entertaining, and I love the guy, and he's funny, but he was bad as a head coach at Tennessee. But so the opportunity of the other person possibly doing a better job than what was really bad is always way too enticing. So, yeah, based on a faulty premise, I'd rather you be the quarterback – or, sorry, not quarterback. I'd rather you be the general manager of the Titans as opposed to Rand Carthon.
So this brings me to the other thing that I still, I guess, I can't totally get over. You know, this top 10 list is more of a reflection to me about how bad the last couple of years have been for the Titans. And yet, Chad Brinker is in charge of the Titans. And Chad Brinker was here in a very high position for those 2 years where they didn't draft Brock Bowers. And Chad Brinker was here for those 2 years where they put all their chips in the middle on Will Levis and they hired Brian Callahan. And like Chad Brinker was promoted and Chad Brinker was, and yet it's as if we're supposed to believe that the Titans going forward now have their heads removed from their asses. Although some of the moves they have made are very head out of ass moves that I'm not used to from the Titans. But I have a hard time understanding how is Chad Brinker not culpable for anything that happened while he was here as assistant GM or the president of football operations.
So there's a great line in the movie Office Space. I love to quote movies. Hilarious movie. Mike Judge wrote, directed it, where the two Bobs come in as consultants for the company. That's the focus of the movie. And they're asking one of the employees, they're trying to get down to what exactly they do at the job. And you know, they said, what is it you'd say you do here? They're asking over and over, and the employee's trying to explain all these different things, but really it's a job that's probably not needed. I really think that Chad Brinker is sort of that person. And we come across these people all the time, Jared. You've worked in this business long enough. You've been around, you know, big business, corporations, everything else. There are people that work for these big companies that make a ton of money that I'm convinced their sole purpose is to not get in trouble with their boss. Like, everything they do is to just be sort of invisible while also seeming helpful, while not trying to get pointed out for being the problem in any situation. I've seen this at the corporate level. I've seen it at the local level. I've seen it everywhere that I've been. The NFL is no different. I feel like Chad Brinker is a guy who sounds smart when talking about football. I think he's a guy who's impressed Amy Adams Strunk, the owner. I think he's a guy who does a good job of sort of levitating back and forth between different areas of the team, all while avoiding any type of blame for anything bad that happens. It's always going to be somebody else's fault. There's a skill to that. There's an art to it. I've always been someone that likes to do things or get things done, so I'm probably not perfect in that respect. But those who can do that and avoid any blame end up making a lot of money and working for many years. Chad Brinker's that person. Don't really know what he does exactly. Don't really know what level of responsibility he holds for the failures. And because I don't know, he's been pretty smart in handling his career because he has stayed out of the crosshairs of Amy Adams Strunk. And in doing so, he's kept his job through some really miserable times for this team.
I will tell you, I think that that is a trend in the Titans organization. I don't think he's the only one doing that. Like, I don't think Brinker's the only guy who's got an executive level title and an executive level salary, and he's just there to be there, to act important, and to make the money and make as much of it as you can, as long as you can, because there will be a day where Amy changes her mind and you're fired. But for right now, just get what you can get, and I don't think he's the only one there doing that.
Yeah, like, I know what you do. You host this show, right? Sure. I know Connor's in today, but I know that David Reed produces this show. I know that people that come in and clean the building at night, I know what they're doing. They're cleaning the building. There are so many people at every major corporation that you look at, and it's like, what is it exactly that you do? Other than, like, you're in on meetings or you hold them, and then you're kind of being helpful here and there, but also not really. You can be an obstacle at times. That's always kind of driven me crazy at every step along the way. But it's a skill to it. There are people who are artful about it, and they're really good at it, and they somehow avoid any blame at all times. They kind of go with the company line. They do the company speak. And then in doing so, they don't get in trouble with the owner or the boss or whoever it is, and they stay employed for a long time. So, hey, more power to them.
Chad Withrow with us from Outkick here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. The hot seat awaits next. Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Chad Withrow with us as he always is. Chad, do you have a thought or do you want to go to the hot seat?
Let's get to it.
Number one, Deion Sanders has opined at the Big 12 Media Days that college football needs a salary cap, saying, quote, look at the college football playoff. And you will see that it goes hand in hand with guys and the money they're making. That being said, one, do you think Deion is right? We need a salary cap. And two, do you think Deion is being intellectually honest with his desire for a salary cap? Do you think it was something that when he was a player he wanted? What do we make of Deion's intentions for the salary cap?
Yeah, look, I think he's speaking as Deion Sanders, head coach of Colorado football, when he says that, absolutely, not as a player, and that he's doing what's best and saying what's best for him and his team. And, yeah, there needs to be a salary cap. If we want any level of fairness, they need to cap what schools can give the players, and then the schools can figure out how they want to allocate the money and pay the football players and pay the basketball players and do all that. Now, it's not going to stop the bigger brands that make more money from being able to entice recruits and transfers over with the promise of more advertising money, NIL money, endorsement money on top of what they're going to make from the school. Now, if you're a Colorado, the advantage to that could be, hey, you're a star wide receiver. If you go to Alabama, let's say you're one of five star wide receivers, we can get you more money in advertising because you're going to be the wide receiver at Colorado. You're going to be the most marketable player on our team. so we can get you more endorsement money with our NIL collective on top of what we're going to pay you underneath the salary cap. So there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat with that one. But, yeah, there needs to be a salary cap.
Okay. Number two, how much belly aching will there be at SEC Media Days this upcoming week about player-related freedoms such as NIL and the transfer portal, and how much belly aching should there actually be?
I mean, they're going to bellyache about no rules in play. It's going to be a lot of hedging. Coaches are going to say, you know, I'm all for the players getting money, but, hey, I'm all for the players having some power here, but here are the bad things that are going on. And they're right. They're not wrong about it at all. There's got to be regulation. There needs to be 2 or 3 year commitments. It shouldn't be a year-to-year thing. Players should not be allowed to bounce from one school to the next to get more and more money after 1 year at a place. So, no, there needs to be rules. The coaches are going to be right about it. And I think they're going to hedge by saying, you know, I'm all for the players, but here's what I really think. We're going to hear a lot of it next week.
Number three, how will Paul Feinbaum's love of Arch Manning look in December of this year? Will he be proven a genius, or will he look like somebody who bought the hype?
Look, I don't think that they're going to win the national title. And to me, that's the expectation for Texas. I think they're Ohio State of a year ago. I really do. I think they're the team that you look at and you say, with this roster, with this quarterback, it's either national championship or bust. That was the expectation for Ryan Day going into last year, and he accomplished it. So anything short of a national title, I think, is a disappointment. I also think you're going to have Arch for the next 2 years. I don't think he's leaving early. So it's going to be to be continued after this year.
Number four, the Atlanta Braves are hosting the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. However, in the standings, this is the worst that they have been since 2017, as they sit 13 games and a half out and are 12 games under 500. Where do the Atlanta Braves go from here?
They need to trade some of their players. I mean, it's time to adjust a little bit here. Like, we can continue saying, oh, it's just a bad year. And it says that this team is awful. I mean, they're really bad. And I know that their run differential is not terrible based on their record and everything else. And they have had some injury problems. But I think it's time to trade away whoever they can trade away to get younger, better assets. I think you do it. Outside of Acuna, who I don't want them to trade, I don't want them to trade Austin Riley. I think Marcell Ozuna, if you can get anything for him, do it. I think Matt Olson, who I like, but if you can get something for him, do it right now. Now's the time to act. I don't know that Alex Anthopoulos is going to do it, but this team is bad. That's for sure.
By the way, I've seen some of these things about Acuna being traded, and I'm like, as a fan, if they traded him and they didn't get the world in return, I may – that may be like burning a bridge right there. That now, I'm always going to love the Braves, but I'd have a hard time getting over that. It would feel very Luka Doncic-esque.
Yeah, unless, like you said, they got, okay, these are the five players that are the core of the next Braves dynasty.
When you're Ken done Griffey the III and that group.
Exactly. Like, here's the guy who throws 102 miles. I'm watching Mason Miller for the A's last night throw 104 miles per hour in relief, and I'm like, okay, you got three of these guys, and you got two power-hitting outfielders. Unless it's that, yeah, no thanks.
What is your level of caring on the NFLPA and the NFL concealed collusion findings and the new story that the executive director of the NFLPA does side work for a venture capital firm that may buy interest in NFL teams?
So I think all these things are true. The NFLPA is the weakest in all of sports. The NFL is also the most popular sport in America. So everything they're doing is right for the fans. The fans love it. They have the perfect system set up. The owners in the league have more power. I think when the owners and leagues have more power, it's typically better for the fans. When the players take over all the control and power, it weakens the enjoyability of the fans. We're seeing it in college sports right now. Fan interest is going to go down if this continues. NBA, too much control for the players. Another good example of that as interest wanes. The NFL's got it figured out. The owners have it figured out. I don't want anything to change, while also acknowledging the quarterbacks are the ones who should get guaranteed money. Of all the sports, those are the guys who should get it, but their NFLPA is weak, and they're not going to demand it, and they're not going to band together, so they're not going to get it. They're going to get paid a ton of money, everybody's going to get rich in the process, but it's not what's best for the player. And Jared, I think that's actually a good thing for the fan.
You know, Rob Manfred is trying to turn the baseball union on itself. And I'm like, man, if they had the dirt that's on this executive director of the PA for football, he'd be able to do it. Unfortunately, not sure it's there. Speaking of quarterbacks, go ahead.
Juan Soto, quickly. Juan Soto makes $765 million guaranteed in his contract. He's complaining about not getting an All-Star game bonus. Like, that's the problem with Major League Baseball also, that you don't have as often in the NFL because nothing is really guaranteed in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Speaking of the NFL and the quarterback position, the Netflix series Quarterback has returned for a second season. Kirk Cousins, Joe Burrow featured in this one. I forget who the third guy is. But my question for you is, what is your interest level in this year's edition of Quarterback? Have you watched it? Will you watch it? And what do you think of the series going forward?
So Jared Goff is the third quarterback.
Goff,
this year.
That's it.
I'm an episode and a half in. And every time I want to be critical of these shows, and, oh, we've seen it all and we've done this, and then I turn it on and start watching, and I'm like, it's pretty good. I'm really enjoying this show. And that's the way I feel about it now. It's really funny. It's compelling at times. It's funny. Kirk Cousins is like the type of guy that just makes people want to be a better person, I think, the way he is about everything. He's just one of those type of dudes. I love watching him on this season also. He's the only repeat from season one. It's really good. I mean, Joe Burrow's pretty much exactly the way I expected him to be. A little bit odd, but also very serious and very much an alpha quarterback. Jared Goff is very likable in it. Again, I'm only an episode and a half in, but I'm loving Quarterback season two so far.
Nashville SC is in second place in the MLS with 41 points behind FC Cincinnati, who has 42. What level of interest do you have in Nashville SC? And how big of a deal would it be if Nashville SC were to, in fact, win the MLS Cup?
It'd be a huge deal. Now, if they won the MLS, here's what's so confusing to me about soccer at all levels, Jared. A buddy of mine, a guy who produces our show, is a huge Nashville SC fan. He's talking constantly about this like mid-season tournament they're in that they continue not to lose in. And he's like, if they win, it's the first ever championship for a pro sports team in Tennessee, a major pro sports team. I'm like, well, wait a minute. So you're talking about winning the MLS? No, winning whatever this other tournament is they're in. I'm like, you can't do both. The ultimate goal, there has to be one main goal. And the one main goal in a pro sports league is to win your league. It's to win the NBA Finals. It's to win the Super Bowl. It's to win the World Series. It's to win the Stanley Cup. So what is the Stanley Cup of MLS? It's the MLS championship, right?
Right, MLS Cup.
Season. Yeah, if they win the MLS Cup, it's a huge deal. But I don't want to hear as much about, that's cool that they might win this other tournament, but you can't have both. You got to pick one. Like, one's the ultimate goal. I'm not going to award them the only pro sports team in Tennessee to win a major championship because they won the second biggest trophy in sports.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to explain to me what it is you're playing for, then I'm not sure it matters that much.
Thank you. I completely agree. Like, we have to get more clear cut. This is what you play for in the MLS. Because I've heard, oh, well, maybe this would actually, depending on how your season's going, one is maybe more important than the other. I'm like, no, that's very convenient. So you can be having a terrible, it's like the NBA in-season tournament. That's like somebody arguing that the first major championship for a team in a market is the in-season NBA tournament. I don't understand it.
I'm trying to figure out when the MLS Cup would be. The problem with the MLS Cup is I believe the MLS playoffs are in, like, November. And I'm sorry, but we're going to be paying attention to football then.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem the WNBA has with their playoffs. We're going to be paying attention to football, which takes me to my last one, which is, what do you make of Angel Reese on the cover of the new women's basketball video game?
I mean, was Caitlin Clark unavailable? I don't understand it. Caitlin Clark is the driving force of women's basketball. It's hands down, no brainer. She's what draws interest. So I don't understand, other than just someone making a choice based on what they think people will approve of more than others. I don't know. I mean, look, Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark is a nice rivalry that started back in college. And Angel Reese certainly is a part of Caitlin Clark's celebrity, but she's not the biggest part. The reason the WNBA has exploded, the reason that women's basketball, to an extent, has gotten a lot more popular, is Caitlin Clark, hands down. So if you're going to make a video game and put someone on the cover, it needs to be Caitlin Clark.
Here's my thing on the Angel Reese front. You know, everybody's, you know, all the old hats in the WNBA and Angel Reese and all those, they point the finger at Caitlin Clark like, she doesn't deserve all this attention she gets. The person who gets the attention they don't deserve is Angel Reese.
Yes.
And she only gets attention because of Caitlin Clark.
But no one says a word about that.
No, you're not allowed
to. Most everyone saying that agrees with, you know, everything Angel Reese says, and for whatever reason doesn't like, it comes down to this. Like, we live in a me good, you bad society. I say this all the time. So whatever side you pretend to be on or you think you're on, you're just not going to listen to anybody else. It's me good, you bad. You bad, me good. That's the WNBA in a nutshell.
Do you think that, like, Carl Weathers
and Caitlin Clark's supporters are on another? They don't hate Caitlin Clark. They hate what Caitlin Clark represents. That's what people hate.
Do you think when Carl Weathers was still alive that, like, he and his family looked at it and they were like, man, people get all think that that movie is about Sylvester Stallone and Rocky, but it's really not. I mean, it's really about me.
Funny. That would be a great take. You know, this it proved itself years later with the Creed movies that the real focal point of those films were Apollo Creed. And that's why we had to further explore that.
I like Happy Gilmore movies. 2 comes out and Christopher McDonald's like, the real hero of the movie is me.
Well, there's apparently Chubbs Peterson's son is in the Happy Gilmore sequel, so they're also paying attention to another Carl Weathers character. But, yeah, I think people, they act like they're confused about the reason for the popularity, but deep down everyone knows it's Caitlin Clark.
By the way, let me just say this. I am anticipating that Happy Gilmore 2 will absolutely freaking suck, but I'm okay with it if it does.
I think that it's going to be so bloated with cameos that there's going to be no coherent plot, right? Like, the first Happy Gilmore movie was so funny because it was one of the original funny Adam Sandler movies, but it had a plot about him trying to make enough money to save his grandmother's house and then breaking into the PGA. I just think this one's just going to be all over the place because there's so many cameos of celebrities throughout this thing.
Yeah, that's what they did with Coming to America 2, and that movie sucked. So I'm anticipating that's going to be the same way with Happy Gilmore 2. Chad Withrow from Outkick. Great stuff. We'll talk soon.
All right. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Yep. Chad Withrow on our program. 615-737-1025. Let's get to your phones. A lot of people want to weigh in on the Nashville SC commentary. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Stillman & Company. So let me be completely honest with everybody out there. I haven't been keeping up with Nashville SC. I see they've been winning some games, and the Nashville SC fans are like, oh, Nashville SC. And look, that's great. You root for what you want to root for. That's great. But I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And I know the rest of the teams in town suck, and so it's nice that Nashville SC doesn't suck. I get all of that. But as far as doing this job is concerned, I'm not sure that I necessarily have to care about Nashville SC. Now, when Nashville SC was fighting with then Metro Council member at large John Cooper before he became mayor to get the stadium built, I was firmly on Nashville SC's side because the way I looked at it was I thought, hey, this can close the hole in the sports calendar. You know, we've got football and we've got hockey and then we've got kind of this period here until football. So let's get a little something-something. So let's get a soccer team. And I was all for it. And then we got the soccer team. And it's not that I don't care. It's just that it doesn't move the needle enough. And then they put the games on Apple TV, so now people have to subscribe. And it's hard enough when Predators fans can't watch the games on TV. It's hard enough. But with this, you don't know. And it's, at times, in my experience, just dealing with Nashville SC at times in the past, it's been kind of a mom-and-pop shop over there and not, you know, a big-time sports thing. So, you know, hey, if you want to root for it, knock yourself out. Nick Frazier, he loves Nashville SC. I think when I was on vacation, somebody tweeted me and was like, Jared, will you please dedicate time to Nashville SC? And it's like, no. Like, they have to, you know, there has to be enough interest there. And the way to do that is to play Messi or to have one of the players grow an arm out of his ass, call it a leg, and kick the ball with it. I mean, that's what I got for you. So as far as the soccer's concerned, you know, that's kind of how I feel about it. I wish them nothing but the best of luck. I hope they do well. You know, for you people that love it, I'm happy you love it. It's just, it hasn't become mainstream enough yet for me to where I feel like I have to care. And that's how it kind of works, is what we talk about on the air is not what I want to talk about. It's what you want to talk about. And then I just give you my opinion about the things that you all care about. So to your phones, after Chad and I talked about Nashville SC, and again, I mean this with no disrespect to Nashville SC, I'm just telling you what I think. Matthew from Jolton says, I couldn't tell you more than three soccer players in the world. The only time I've ever considered going to a Nashville SC game was when Messi was in town, and that's because it would be like seeing Tom Brady or Michael Jordan. I don't disagree with that. Dylan in Antioch says, Chad is spot on about Nashville SC. Too many tournaments in soccer in general. Again, this is how I feel. If you have to tell me what you're playing for, then I don't care. Like somebody, I think in the YouTube chat, compared whatever it is Nashville SC's playing for to the President's Trophy. And I'm like, but the President's Trophy, the only reason I care about the President's Trophy when it comes to the Predators is because I thought home ice mattered. And if you win the President's Trophy, you get home ice in every series, including the Stanley Cup Final. So that's where it matters. The idea of, you know, we won the President's Trophy, that doesn't matter to me. Best record during the regular season only matters to me when it comes to the playoffs. And when it comes to hockey, you don't have to tell me what we're playing for. We're playing for the Stanley Cup. Granted, I did get into the Four Nations, and that was kind of manufactured. Not my interest in it, but the tournament itself was kind of manufactured, but I did get into that. Joey from Bellevue says, Nashville SC is in the U.S. Open Cup. That is the trophy they can still win. They are in the semifinals. Every league in Europe has a separate cup tournament within the country that involves teams in lower divisions that have a chance to win a trophy. Nashville SC plays Messi tomorrow. Do they play Messi tomorrow at home? Or is it only Messi? Is it only that they play Messi on the road tomorrow? I'm guessing they play Messi on the road. Because if they were playing Messi at home, I'm sure that would probably cross my radar. I mean, we did talk about Messi when Messi came here a couple of years ago, and that was a big deal because, once again, if you're important enough to get talked about, then we'll talk about it. It just, I don't think it's gotten there with Nashville SC. I kind of view Nashville SC, and I mean this with all due respect to the Sounds. I love the Sounds, and I think the Sounds like me. But it's like when we talk about pro sports, and if somebody says Nashville needs a pro baseball team, I bet people with the Sounds get pissed off because they probably hear that and say, wait a minute, just because we're AAA doesn't mean we're not pro baseball. And technically they're right. But when somebody says pro baseball, you know what they mean. They mean Major League Baseball. When it comes to Nashville SC, yes, it's Major League Soccer, but it kind of seems minor league-ish to me. Like, not as important to me as the NBA. Do you know what I mean? I always think it's funny in football when they say world champions because, you know, who else is playing football other than America? But in the other sports, baseball, basketball, you are world champions. You're not world champions in soccer. Chad says that if Nashville SC gets to the MLS Cup, that would be a big deal. The problem with that is that's going to be in November or December, and we're all in the football mode at that point. Like, what do you care about more? The SEC championship game or Nashville SC in the MLS Cup? It's going to be hard for me to pick Nashville SC. 615-737-1025. Speaking of things people don't care about, I almost never talk about my personal life in terms of, like, I went on vacation and this was my vacation and what it was like. But I do have some advice that I'd like to give. And we'll do that next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, I don't really talk about, you know, what Mila, you know, this is what I did yesterday, because I just don't think that many people care. I think sports radio hosts, some of it is built out of insecurity. Some of it is built out of some weird inflated sense of self-interest. But they talk about their personal lives. And again, I'm not talking about my son or whatever, but I'm talking about like the day to day of just shooting the breeze. Oh man, I had such a hard time when my connection got, nobody cares. But I do want to tell this story from this week because I think it can help some of you out for the rest of the summer. I don't know how many more vacations people have planned. I don't know if people are done with their vacations or just whatever. But this week, we were in Singer Island, Florida. It's outside of Palm Beach. My grandmother lives in North Palm. She's 93 years old. She's the one that I would always talk about when we would talk about the regional sports networks. And I would discuss how Comcast had probably made $30,000 off my grandmother to not watch the Miami Marlins, Miami Heat, or Florida Panthers for 30 years. But that she was paying, you know, 10 bucks, 12 bucks a month for forever with Comcast. And that's how these sports teams made their money for years. And that money's gone away. So we were in Florida and we stayed at a great resort. You know, it wasn't a hotel. It was like a home resort kind of, but it was great. And the pool was great. The beach was great. All of it was great. Problem was, I don't think I drank enough water. And it was hot. The humidity was up there. And I, again, spent a lot of the day at the pool, spent a lot of the day at the beach. My parents, they were in town. You know, they stayed about a mile away. So we were walking to and from their place a bunch. And by about the second or third day, I was having a hard time getting out of bed. And I was starting to get these, like, flu-like symptoms. And so I looked it up. It was dehydration. And so for the last couple days while I was there, I was just chugging Pedialyte and had headaches and all kinds of stuff. So let this just be a recommendation for everybody out there that when you're on vacation in the sun and it is hot and it's going to be hot here the rest of the summer, do not try to be Johnny Tough Guy. Make sure, I used to take boxing classes, and one of the instructors at the end of the boxing class would always say, be sure to eat that healthy food and drink that healthy water. Well, I have learned the hard way, because at 35 years old, I'm not 28 anymore. And I don't know if it's because, you know, there's more going on with having a kid and everything else. I couldn't tell you, but this was the first time, and I've been going to Singer Island, Florida for forever. And this is the first time that I genuinely got so dehydrated that I was like, nah, I can't drink a Gatorade. I can't drink like a Propel. I got to go to Walgreens and buy Pedialyte because I'm that. And it wasn't like I don't, again, it's Fireball Hot Take Friday and I love Fireball. I don't drink a lot. So it wasn't that. I just spent too much time in the sun, didn't drink enough water. So let that be just my advice for everybody else. That's it for us. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see everybody Monday at 2 right here on the program. Connor Newt, great job.
Thank you, sir.
Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.